Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
2 hours ago, make a little news. I had a handful of CEOs from some of the world's largest fertilizer companies sit right up there in my office, which is right over my left shoulder. And we had a very frank discussion. The challenge is only a handful of companies in the world supply fertilizer to the world. It is a worldwide market.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins on Wednesday from USDA's offices. Now, global fertilizer disruptions tied to the Middle East conflict really creating uneven risk for farmers. Brazil facing more immediate pressure while U.S. producers have a bit more flexibility. That's according to economists at both the University of Illinois and Purdue University. Fertilizer prices remain elevated as disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz continue to limit supply, and that increasing input cost and tightening the availability of inputs during critical decision windows for global crop production. Now, for U.S. farmers, much of that fertilizer either already purchased or applied ahead of the recent disruptions, reducing the near-term exposure. But in contrast, Brazil relies heavily on imported fertilizer. As much as 90%, nearly 100% of nutrients are sourced globally. Now, sorghum markets facing growing oversupply risk as export demand, particularly from China, remains uncertain. That's according to Terrain economist Bree Batts. She says U.S. farmers intend to plant over 6 million acres of sorghum this year, and though it's down 8% from last year, shifting conditions could still push acreage higher. Dry weather in the plains and lower fertilizer requirements compared to corn could encourage additional sorghum planting. She says that would increase supply beyond current projections. Well, milk prices showing signs of recovering after a difficult start to the year, even as production remains elevated. That's according to University of Georgia ag economist Will Secor. The all milk price averaged $17.50 per hundredweight in January. That's the lowest January level since 2021. But driven by a sharp increase in milk production that ran more than 3% higher than a year earlier, and that supply pressure weighing heavily on prices. But by February, conditions began to shift, milk prices up 80 cents per hundredweight, roughly a 5% increase. Looking ahead, however, risk remain with strong production levels set to continue. But federal spending on the U.S. Farm Safety Net remains a very small share of the overall budget. That despite growing dollar totals, and it's according to research from Dr. Carl Zuloff at Ohio State. The Congressional Budget Office projects Farm Safety Net spending at $37.3 billion for fiscal year 2027. It appears large, but really represents just one-half of 1% of total federal spending. But will we have to spend to fix the fertilizer issue?
The good news is, especially with nitrogen, which is really the key issue right now as we're moving into planting season, that in America, we have enough LNG. Thanks to President Trump's energy independence agenda, we've gone from a net importer just a decade ago to a net exporter on nitrogen. But we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the plants, et cetera, here.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
They are an arm of the Department of Energy. It's called the Advanced Research Projects Agency Energy, or ARPA-E.
The founder and CEO of Cerro Ag is John Dove.
And they do the kind of bleeding edge technology that private industry sometimes doesn't like to fund because it's too high risk. They get involved and they fund a lot of the early work, and then they place a special emphasis on commercialization. So they're really cognizant of using taxpayer dollars and making sure they're only catalyzing those kind of ideas that private industry couldn't take forward, and then making sure that there's a plan to take them forward. And it works really well, and it's a model that is kind of spread to other federal agencies because of the commercialization focus and the ability to bridge that sort of valley of death where really good research ideas go kind of languish on the vine before they can actually reach commercial reality. So that's kind of the world they sit in and where they specialize. And so I was there at their annual meeting talking about sorghum and a number of other crops as a part of that event. So it was a good opportunity to advocate on behalf of sorghum and meet some new technologies, meet some new researchers, some companies that are looking to take really interesting and cutting edge technology forward in agriculture.
And that ARPA-E program has research in Maricopa, Arizona, home to the world's largest robot.
2014, the ARPA-E launched the Terra program. Terra is a great acronym. I do not remember what it stands for, but it's the Terra program that was high throughput phenotyping. So that was looking at the plant's outward facing physiology, right? So phenotype, so height, leaf angle, head exertion. In corn, think about ear height or the angle of the ear, things like that. Those are the phenotypic information. And that program is really focused on phenotyping very, very, very rapidly and in a very uniform and standard way. Currently in plant breeding, of course, if you're going to measure those things, it has to be measured physically. And when you take an army of grad students out, they work hard, they're eager, but they, by the end of the day, they might not be doing quite as good a job as they're doing at 8 a.m. And one might be really tired and one might be just kind of tired. And so that's going to affect the kind of quality of their measurements. And so that project was looking at standardizing that and using, as you mentioned, robots like the world's largest robot, in order to rapidly phenotype the plant, rapidly collect that information to inform plant breeding, around those traits. And so that Maricopa project was the flagship Terra program. It was all about sorghum, and they had that the world's largest robot. It was called a gantry. It looks kind of like something you'd see on a shipyard, and it went over the field back to back and every day, and it collected the same amount of information at the same height, the same time, the same conditions, and then it sent all that information to the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center in St. Louis for the breeders to actually start doing what they do in looking at the genetic information and translating that phenotypic information into information that can actually be useful for the breeders and ultimately make good things for the growers. So that was the flagship Terra. That was the flagship ARPA-E program back in 2014. I think we went out there in 15, and so we're a little over 10 years now from the genesis of that project. And here, 11, 12 years later, they're still going strong, still making investments in sorghum.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Good morning. I want to thank you all for being here today for this hearing to review the budget and programs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Chairman of the House Subcommittee on Ag Appropriations from Maryland, Dr. Andy Harris.
USDA's FY27 budget request totals $19.1 billion for discretionary programs, a decrease of $5.1 billion, or almost 28% below last year's enacted levels. As we review the request, I appreciate your willingness to discuss USDA's efforts to reprioritize our constituents' hard-earned taxpayer dollars on initiatives that have the greatest impact. Under President Trump's leadership, the administration is refocusing USDA on its core mission of helping all farmers and ranchers by rolling back harmful regulations, fighting against unfair trade practices, protecting the homeland from foreign animal and plant diseases, and providing timely disaster and economic assistance to farmers and ranchers. I appreciate your efforts, Secretary Rollins, to modernize meat and poultry processing systems. The proposed updates to line speed regulations, for instance, will increase processing efficiency to lower costs for consumers while upholding USDA's high standards for food and worker safety. I also appreciate your work to find solutions to high input prices for farmers and ranchers, such as for fertilizer. While producers continue to face challenging economic headwinds, Purdue University just released a survey showing farmers' optimism is increasing. Producers understand that while challenges persist, this administration is focused on the policies to improve the agricultural economy and keep family farms and ranches in business. Of course, there's still more work to be done. I appreciate that you've delayed the Biden-era Packers and Stockyards rule that would end the poultry tournament system. I'm confident that a comprehensive economic analysis will show the financial harm this rule will cause poultry growers and increasing prices, especially for producers on Maryland's eastern shore. I'd urge you to fully repeal the rule rather than to allow it to tear down an efficient, successful poultry market structure that helps both farmers and consumers. Already, consumers have benefited from your leadership and that of the Trump administration. As we recall, at the end of the Biden administration, egg prices were over $5 a dozen. Today, egg prices were half that amount, and where I shop, it's $1.66 a dozen.
That's right.
Overall, according to USDA, food prices increased a staggering 9.9% in a single year under the Biden administration, the fastest increase since 1979. The Trump administration has successfully prioritized efforts to tame food inflation to be in line with historical norms. Yet a new baseline of higher food prices was set by the previous administration that continues to plague consumers, and it will take time to overcome. I want to commend you, Madam Secretary, for your commitment to policies that have made this administration the most health conscious in history. USDA has approved 22 SNAP food restriction waivers, and there are more to come. Taxpayer dollars should not subsidize the purchase of foods and beverages with zero nutritional value, and I applaud the coordinated effort between USDA and HHS to make America healthy again. We all know that American farmers and ranchers produce a wide variety of the safest, most abundant, and nutritious food in the world, and I want American consumers to purchase more of our healthy American products. The FY26 enacted bill directed USDA to study a Buy American requirement in the SNAP program, which would put more SNAP dollars back into the pockets of American producers, not our foreign competitors. I look forward to the results of this study and to working with you on this initiative. I also want to thank you, Madam Secretary, for visiting Maryland to learn firsthand about the invasive blue catfish that continue to damage the Chesapeake Bay. This subcommittee has spearheaded efforts to expand processing capacity to provide market opportunities for watermen and seafood processors in my district. I appreciate that you have rolled out the first round of grants for catfish processing expansion and have worked to make sure wild-caught catfish are eligible for Section 32 purchases going forward.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Since I was last before this committee, we've made substantial progress on the new world screwworm. Again, for our guys with and girls with a lot of cattle in their states, this is a significant threat to our American cattle ranching industry, and certainly at a time where our cattle herds are at their lowest levels in 75 years.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins testifying before Congress.
Tomorrow, I will be back on the border for the fourth time talking about all of those efforts. We have significantly expanded sterile fly dispersal capacity, about 100 million in addition a week, which is very important. And we can get more into that if anyone has questions here or later. We have advanced next generation tools working with the EPA. We have strengthened surveillance and screenings along the border. We have been working very closely with the state, the country of Mexico, the state of Tamaulipas. We've secured new emergency youth authorizations for prevention and treatment, completed audits, again, deploying a lot of USDA staff into Mexico. Tomorrow, we'll be breaking ground on an almost $1 billion sterile fly facility so that we in America can control that versus Panama, which currently has the sterile fly facility. So making a lot of progress there. On trade, which was a big topic last year, again, we can get into details. I'm so happy to talk about this. But in just 1 year, we have enacted 18 new trade agreements. This is of massive importance for our farmers as what was an ag trade surplus when we left in 2020 turned into a $50 billion ag deficit under the last administration. Just in 1 year alone, we have cut that deficit by 42%. These numbers are really important for our farmers who are looking for these markets that had been closed to them. And this year, we're expected to cut that deficit significantly more. We expect, based on the numbers this year, for example, our corn exports to be up 25%. Our ethanol exports to be up 20%, our tree nut exports to be up 11%, our dairy exports to be up 17%. These are all really important moves forward for our farmers and ranchers in this country. And we will continue, obviously, more trade deals coming down the pike. We're going to continue while we're looking at the foreign market access, the domestic market, obviously, extremely important as well. Year-round E15, 45Z, the largest RVOs in American history. All of these are massive to expand these domestic markets. We talked a little bit with Ms. DeLauro on the Farmer Bridge assistance programs, the ECAP programs, et cetera. Even though with a few of those block grants, we've had lots of dozens and dozens of meetings trying to get to a good place. For the most part, all of this funding moved at record speed and in a way that had never been seen before. The one farmer, one file that Mr. Bishop brought up, we had 52,000 farmers apply in a 4-day period for the Farmer Bridge assistance online versus what was normally about 5,000 online over 4 months for the ECAP and the other programs. So these are significant steps forward to support our farmers. Again, I want to talk about MAHA. The dietary guidelines is so important. All of the wonderful work that you all did on the One Big Beautiful Bill, the largest investment in American history in rural America. It's remarkable. The rural health transformation, the opportunity zones, and then of course in agriculture, the death tax on our family farms, the expensing, all of the great lowering and improving crop insurance was so important. And I'm sure we'll talk about this today, but obviously input costs continue to be top of mind with the current conflict going on overseas, obviously adding to what was already skyrocketing input costs, fertilizer, et cetera. We can go into details on that. I'm happy to do it now, or if we don't have time, another time.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The single largest variable that will influence U.S. sorghum prices in the next several months will be export sales activity from China.
Bree Botts is a grain and oilseed analyst with Terrain, talking sorghum.
In the past 10 years, China's export demand has accounted for over 50% of U.S. sorghum production. China relies almost exclusively on domestic sorghum for industrial consumption, including for its baijiu alcoholic beverage, which continues to see declining demand. And it relies almost exclusively on imports for its domestic animal feed needs. The USDA estimates China's demand for feed across all grains will increase in 2026-27, driven by increased poultry consumption. There is speculation that China's domestic corn supplies are not as robust as previously forecast due to persistent rainfall in northern China. The USDA estimates China's corn supply could be downgraded by 20 to 30 million metric tons. According to the National Bureau of Statistics, China's domestic corn prices have been increasing in 2026. However, China proactively discourages corn imports with its tariff rate quota, or TRQ, system. While corn is the dominant feed ingredient in China, there is no TRQ for other feed ingredient substitutes such as sorghum and dried distiller grains with solubles, or DDGs. This presents an opportunity for increased imports of these commodities to backfill any gaps in China's domestic corn supply. Recent trade talks suggest China is considering additional U.S. agricultural purchases, which may lead to incremental sorghum purchases. China resumed buying U.S. sorghum in November and has doubled its purchases from a year ago. However, China still maintains a 10% tariff and continues to diversify its global grain feed suppliers, increasing purchases of corn from Argentina and DDGs and sorghum from Brazil. In the past decade, 20% of sorghum use has gone into industrial use, primarily for ethanol. When U.S. exports decline, so do sorghum prices, displacing corn in domestic ethanol production and feed. A near-record amount of sorghum is being used for ethanol production, but the surge is more due to the price effect caused by the lack of exports than rising incremental demand. As of March 1st, the USDA's quarterly grain stocks report revealed 172 million bushels of grain sorghum was stored thus far in 2026, up 15% from the prior year, confirming the supply swell. The Energy Information Administration forecasts a slight increase in ethanol production in 2026 to 1.09 million barrels per day, and the USDA forecasts the highest amount of sorghum used for industrial consumption in the past decade. However, it will not be enough to account for reduced exports to China. Although China resumed purchases of U.S. sorghum, supplies have ballooned because of the hiatus since spring 2025. Therefore, I expect sorghum ending stocks to continue to grow for both old and new crop, pressuring prices through fall. Looking ahead, unless China's purchase pace accelerates in second quarter 2026, the USDA's current old crop sorghum export forecast remains a tad too rosy. I forecast old crop exports to finish closer to 200 million bushels, with the additional 25 million bushels increasing ending stocks. If planted acres exceed March intentions, supply pressure would be compounded by elevated ending stocks. Combined with the likely prospect of increasing domestic and international sorghum production, U.S. exports could be further pressured as we look to new crop 2026-27. Farmers need to stay disciplined on risk management and pay close attention to any trade headlines tied to China increasing sorghum purchases, as this could lead to narrower basis and higher local cash prices.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
This is very timely because during the recess that we just finished, I did extensive visits to farm and land-grant institutions and rural communities in my middle and southwest Georgia district.
Ranking member of a House subcommittee on ag appropriations from Georgia, Sanford Bishop.
I recall that last year, one of the biggest issues we discussed was the need to quickly deploy economic assistance for farmers, as well as the harmful effects of chaotic illegal tariffs on those same farmers. Well, I heard those same themes of economic distress last week. Today, the situation is even worse than it was last year. We're in an unauthorized war with Iran. Gas and diesel prices are hurting rural businesses and families. Farmers are waiting to get their tariff refunds. Food prices are sky high. And the American dream of owning a home is now just that, a dream out of reach for most Americans. It's planting season. Fertilizer prices are through the roof, and my producers tell me that contrary to news reports, they did not pre-purchase fertilizer. They were busy selling off land and trying to make ends meet. Arkansas, Georgia, Iowa, and Nebraska lead the nation in farm bankruptcies, which are this year up over 46%. The fallout is felt across the country. Families paying double or more at the gas pump are also finding it harder to afford groceries. Reckless and unaccountable ICE activity has not only killed U.S. citizens, but it's also had a ripple effect on the agriculture workforce availability. 76% of agricultural economists say that the crop sector is in a recession, and 74% of our producers agree. USDA's own economic research service says that net farm income is forecast to decline by $4.1 billion from 2025 to 2026. So why, Madam Secretary, is the White House proposing deep cuts and USDA programs and staff that help farmers, that help rural communities, and feed hungry people? OMB Director Vogt says that land-grant research, essential rural community facilities, NRCS technical assistance, and the Forest Service are, quote, irrelevant to supporting an America First agricultural policy, end of quote, and not budget priorities. That's not what my people back home are saying to me. It'll be hard for our constituents to believe that USDA serves America's farmers and rural communities when USDA is taking away their services. Where is America First when American farmers continue to find their local farm service agency offices understaffed or closed? Where is America First when the cost of an unauthorized war in Iran is sucking up funds that farmers and rural communities desperately need that could fund congressionally authorized programs? Where is America First when America's agriculture research lags behind our adversaries and our president proposes huge cuts to land-grant universities who lead agricultural innovations? American food banks are struggling to close a gap that this administration created when it put billionaire tax breaks before hungry seniors, women, and children. Is this also America First? I hope that you'll be able to explain this disconnect to America's families and farmers who are watching today. I expect that most of the proposed cuts will be modified as we finalize the 2027 funding bill, but it will be difficult.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.